ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। समस्तजनकल्याणे निरतं करुणामयं नमामि चिन्मयं देवं सद्गुरुं ब्रह्मविद्वरं सद्गुरुं ब्रह्मविद्वरं। ॐ पार्थाय प्रतिबोधितां भगवतां नारायणेन स्वयं व्यासेनाग्रथितां पुराणमुनिना मध्येर्महाभारतम् अद्वैतामृतवर्षिणीं भगवतीं अष्टादशाध्यायिनीं अम्बत्वामनुसन्ददामि भगवद्गीते भवद्वेषिणीम्। यं ब्रह्मा वरुणेन्द्ररुद्रमरुतः सुन्वन्ति दिव्यैः सवै वेदैः साङ्गपदक्रमोपनिषदैः गायन्ति यं सामगा ध्यानमुपस्थिततद्गतेन मनसा पश्यन्ति यं योगिनः यस्यान्तं न विदुत्सुरासुरगणाः देवाय तस्मै नमः देवाय तस्मै नमः। ॐ श्रीगणेशाय नमः। ॐ श्रीसरस्वत्यै नमः। ॐ श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः।
Adio. So in the fifth chapter, last week we had talked about the stepwise progression, how from karma we go to karma yoga, working unselfishly. Then from that, karma sannyas. For some sannyasis, they directly completely give up the world. For people like you and me, we work in the world, but without attachment and without doership. The ego that I am doing it, Bhagwan is working to me through me. That is the stepwise, and then only in that process, then the highest knowledge becomes easier to digest for us. We can keep studying, but unless we have this sannyas and this karma yoga principles, knowledge will not stay. And then we have talked about the stepwise yoga yukto vishuddhatma vijitatma jitendriya sarva bhutatma bhutatma kurvan api na lipyate. So one who does lives a life of yoga, karma yoga, mind is purified, mind and senses are under his control, and this person sees Bhagwan in all of them. Myself is the self of all. Such a person is evolved and even while working does not get contaminated. And then how does this man of wisdom function in the world? We had seen in shlokas number 8 and 9, naiva kinchit karomiti yukto manyeta tatvavit. The knower of truth says, I do nothing. Because I am the Atma, the consciousness, in my presence, this body seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, mind is thinking, intellect is contemplating. So all that is happening but I myself do nothing. So that is, this person is always in meditation. He does not need to sit down, because all the time this person is connected with the self, with Om, with Bhagwan within, and can witness and watch his body, mind, and intellect. So we'll continue today. A very beautiful shloka, number 10, is one of the very popular shlokas. Chapter 5, shloka number 10. Brahmanyadhaya karmani.
Brahmanyadhaya karmani.
Sangam tyaktva karoti yah.
Sangam tyaktva karoti yah.
Lipyate na sa papena.
Lipyate na sa papena.
Padma patram ivambasa.
Padma patram ivambasa.
Brahmanyadhaya karmani. Sangam tyaktva karoti yah.
Lipyate na sa papena. Padma patram ivambasa.
Lot of teaching in this shloka. Brahmani adhaya karmani. Karmani means all karmas. It is bahuvachan. Brahmani adhaya, placing all his actions in Brahman. How? What do we mean by placing all actions in Brahman? We'll talk about that. And then what does this person do? Sangam tyaktva karoti. Without attachment. Tyaktva means giving up attachment. Karoti yaha. Yaha means whoever that person may be, male or female, young or old, short or tall, but black or white. But this person who can place his actions in Bhagwan, with working without attachment, then what is the benefit? Lipyate nasa papena. No of the papa karmas, none of the papas can influence him, affect him. How? Padma patram eva ambasa, like a lotus does not get contaminated by water. Lotus leaf, even water comes, does not get affected. So same way this man of wisdom does not get affected. So what is the meaning of Brahmani adhaya karmani? So Brahman here does not mean the supreme consciousness, Brahman, the Om, but Brahman here refers to Ishvara, because they have shown a duality, that me and Ishvara, Bhagwan, because that same Brahman, when functions through Maya, creates this whole world of apparent duality, even though it, one alone is expressing as everything, but we see the difference. So slowly we have to evolve that, okay, me and this world, me and God, and ultimately one alone. God alone is everything, everywhere. That is Advaita, that is non-dual, and that is Brahman. But here they are talking about Brahman, the creator, sustainer, and destroyer, Ishvara of the universe. And Adhaya Karmani, how do you place your actions in karma? Means make Bhagwan my ashraya, my support. Everything that I'm doing is because of Brahman, because of God. And he's my ashraya, he's my only support. That's why they say, Bhagwan tera hi ashraya. Then nothing in the world can give me that same level of support, whether it's my family, my job, my money, my house, my power. Nothing can give me that same amount of support, ashraya, as Bhagwan. So taking refuge in Bhagwan and Bhagwan alone. And how do we develop a relationship with God, develop a relationship of love? So there are three steps. One is samipya, come close to Bhagwan. Then sanidhya, then come in close proximity. So one is contact, samparka, then sanidhya, close proximity. And then Sarupya, then you become one with Bhagwan, that God alone is. So there are three steps. So how do we do that? We know we don't know where God is, but we have his picture or his statue. So sit in front of God every day and talk to Bhagwan and say, okay, you know, Bhagwan, this is what, you know, and express your love for Bhagwan, because we have so much, you know, gratitude, so much things Bhagwan has done for us, given us our body, our life, our consciousness, our ability to walk, talk, think, family, wealth, money, house, whatever I have, this beautiful world is all given by Bhagwan. So expressing gratitude and expressing love and develop a relationship of love with Bhagwan. And Bhagwan says in the ninth chapter, Ananyas Chintayanto Maam, Ye Jana Paryupasate, Tesham Nityabhiyuktanam, Yoga Kshema Vahamyaham. This is one of the five that Chinmaya Mission has selected, five shlokas in the Bhagavad Gita that are the highest, with the highest knowledge. So Bhagwan says, Ananya, one who thinks of me and me alone and works for me and me alone, does not have any other desires, does not have any other attachments, and is self-controlled. Tesham abhiyuktanam yoga kshema vahamyaham. Then I take care of this, of your needs. I take care of what you need and I help you to maintain it. So Bhagwan has promised that you put your mind towards me and I will take care of you. And we have to have gratitude because Bhagwan has given us everything. And this gratitude should also extend to our parents. You know, those of us, some of us may not have living parents, but even if they have passed away, but constant remembrance of, you know, kritagnyata, that because this Bhagwan has, through the parents, given us birth, given us, parents have given us what we have. So constant expression of gratitude towards Bhagwan, towards the parents, because isn't it? Tvameva mata pita tvameva. God, you are my mother, you are my father. So I see God in my parents and regularly calling them, talking to them if they are still alive. If not, just mentally thanking them because they are again in some Pitru Loka or somewhere. So our prayers, our offerings will go there. And so remembering them. And ultimately, Vishwa seeing this whole world as God. Everything is that God alone. And that then I have no raga, no dvesha. I have no likes, I have no dislikes. Why? Because everything is God. How can I, if I like something more and if I dislike something, then I am disliking God. So such a person develops spontaneous love for all, spontaneous acceptance, spontaneous oneness with the entire universe. So that is seeing the whole Vishwa. That's why when we do Rudram chanting, there is one line which says, Virupe Bhyaha, Vishwa Rupe Bhyaha Namaha. I bow down to that Lord Shiva, who is the formless substratum of this universe and is the visible universe, both. So that Bhagwan, who is the formless, which I cannot see, which is all pervading, manifests as all beings. So that is, and I bow down to everyone. Even Tulsi Das Ji says in Siya Rama Mai Sab Jag Jani Karahu Pranam Jori Jugabani. I see Sita and Ram in everybody. All ladies are mothers. Sita, all men are Bhagwan Ram. Then I just bow down to everyone. And then such a person is not affected by sin. Why? Because there are no negative qualities in that person. When there's no raga dvesha, when there's spontaneous love. Because Arjun asks Bhagwan, you know, why do we commit sin? Anichanapi vashneya baladiva niyojitaha. Why does a person commit sin even though not wishing to? Why? Why does this happen? So he's, Bhagavan says, Kama Esha, Krodha Esha, Rajogun Samudbhava, Mahashano Mahapapma, Man Vidyenam Iha Varinam. So he says this, what is the cause of sin? Kama and Krodha, desire and anger. I desire something, I want something, I must have it, and I don't get it. Then I get angry. If I get it, then I get greedy. I get jealous. You know, if somebody has more, I get proud if somebody has less. So desire is the source of all evils, and that comes from rajas. Rajas means the attitude that I must achieve more than others. So they say work, but not with the idea of defeating others, but work with the idea of serving the world. And that is sattvic action. And such a person then, lipyate nasa papena padma patram ivambasa. So whatever karmas this person is doing, you know, what are the karmas we do? We do the nityam karma, daily duties. Then naimitya karma, those are special duties like a funeral or child's birth or a wedding. So nitya and naimitya karmas, you know, we do them. That's called niyatam karma. And then there is kamya karma, desire prompted actions, and nishiddha karma, wrong actions. So they say, do not do wrong actions, reduce your desire prompted actions, and whatever your daily duties are, do them without likes or dislikes, without raga, dvesha. And then such a person, even when this person is working, none of these negativities can affect him, because he has gone beyond raga, dvesha, gone beyond all these desires, actions. Like a lotus leaf, Bhagavan says it very beautifully, lotus leaf is in water. In fact, the whole lotus plant grows in water, but the leaf is unaffected, even though in the water, water falls, it slips off. Why? Because there is an oil on the lotus leaf. And also the lotus flower is called pankaja. Panka means muck, mud. It grows in mud, but beautifully shines, and it is fragrance and beauty. So the wise person lives in the same world as you and I do. But this wise person, even living in that same world with all this impurities, negativities, conflicts, problems, the person is able to rise above and spreads his fragrance. That's why all these great Mahatma Swami, Chinmayananda ji and Shankaracharya ji and all these other great, you know, rishis and all who have given us these Upanishads and knowledge, they are able to spread their fragrance because they are always connected with God and they do not let the worldly problems bother them. So that's why Bhagavan says, live like a lotus, spread your fragrance everywhere, spread your beauty, and do not be attached to the lower things. Grow above them, grow out of them. Even though you and I are living in this world, but let not the negativities affect you. Because the world will have problems. There will be some good people, some bad people, some violence, some love, hatred, compassion, all of that is there. But a wise person does not get affected and always keeps his or her mind in Bhagwan. Always remembers Bhagwan, you know, get up in the morning remembering Bhagwan, remember God all day, and when you go to bed, remember God at night. So this is a very, very beautiful mantra which we can apply constantly in our life. So 10th mantra, I would recommend everybody to memorize it and read Gurudev's commentary. You know, if you don't have, please get it and read this commentary. Beautifully, Swami Chinmayananda ji has done, given us this commentary. Now the person says, Bhagwan Sri Krishna says, when we do all our actions, how do yogis means the wise person whose mind is attached to God, how do they work in the world and why do they work? For what purpose? You and I also work and these wise people also work. What is the difference between us and them? And we have to see how they work and how I can reach that level. So that is the reason Bhagwan is giving us this shloka number 11, that how can I become like them? So we chant. Kaena manasa buddhya,
कायेन मनसा बुद्ध्या
केवलैरिन्द्रियैरपि
केवलैरिन्द्रियैरपि
योगिनः कर्म कुर्वन्ति
योगिनः कर्म कुर्वन्ति
संगं त्यक्त्वात्मशुद्धये. टुगेदर कायेन मनसा बुद्ध्या
केवलैरिन्द्रियैरपि योगिनः कर्म कुर्वन्ति संगं त्यक्त्वात्मशुद्धये.
So, how are the different ways that we can work in the world? What are the different ways I perform all my actions? So, Bhagwan mentions all kayena. See, these are all the instrumental by my body, manasa by my mind. So, with the body, I perform actions. I see, hear, smell, taste, touch. With the mind, I feel the emotions, joy, sorrow, love, hatred, and all. And buddhaya, and with the intellect. So with the body, I perceive the objects. With the mind, I feel the emotions. And with the intellect, I think the thoughts. So with the body, mind, and intellect, kayena, manasa, buddhya, and then kevalaini, and also with the indriyas, the sense organs and organs of action. So with the sense organs, I see, hear, smell, taste, touch. With the organs of action, I walk, talk, I hold things, speak, excretion, and all those, so reproduction. So all my actions, the sense organs and the organs of action, the 10 indriyas, with that this person works. So these are the four ways, through the body, mind, intellect, and through the senses. So yogina, so these yogis, karma kurvanti, they do actions. How do they do action? Sangam tyaktva. Again and again, Bhagwan will emphasize this. Sangam tyaktva, giving up attachment. Giving up attachment to objects and to things is the problem. So giving up attachment. And why does this wise person work? Atma shuddhaye, for purification of Atma. Here, Atma does not mean for purification of Atma, the Om, that is ever pure. Here, Atma means the mind. So for purification of his mind, mind including intellect, this wise person works. Wise people, it is Bahuvachan. So we saw all the actions that we can do. And yogi, as we said, is a person who has the right knowledge and is connected with Bhagwan at all times. All the time, his or her mind is in Bhagwan, because yogi comes from yuj, to unite. So throughout his life or her life, they are spending time connected with God. And sangam, as we said, is attachment, is dependence. Does attachment, people think that, does that mean I should not love my child or my spouse or my family? No. Attachment is, there's a difference between love and attachment. We have talked about many times. Love is spontaneous love. Attachment is dependence. I plus I want. That without this object, I am unhappy. Without this person, I am unhappy. Without this job, I am unhappy. Without, you know, so when people get attached to a particular job, or a person, or an object, or a relationship, that attachment binds us. Then you kind of depend on that person. And we'll talk in bondage more detail in the third mantra, in the third shloka today. So that dependence causes bondage, where I depend on something for my happiness. And that only works at the level of the ego. As long as I think I am this ego, this perceiver, feeler, and thinker, then objects, emotions, and thoughts will bind me. I'll get caught in them. I'll depend on them for my happiness. But if I think I am Om, the Atma, so if I am at the level of ego, yes, you will suffer, because things will always not be the same. So one day I'll be healthy, one day unhealthy, one day happy, one day unhappy, one day success, one day failure. In life, these things happen, you know, dvandva. That's why they say, Bhagavan says again and again, dvandva tita, one who goes beyond these pairs of opposites. So, how do I go? So, Gurudev in his commentary says it very beautifully, look out of the balcony of the intellect. So people say, what do you mean, balcony of the intellect? What it means is just as when you're standing on the balcony of your house, say on the second floor, and you're watching a procession going by, there is some parade or something. You just watch it, you are not affected. And, you know, I don't have any relative or friend in that parade. I just watch and enjoy it. So, same way at the intellectual level, watch the mind and the body. Let the intellect watch. Okay, my mind is happy, unhappy. My body is, you know, hot or cold, healthy, unhealthy. And be a witness. And then ultimately, Gurudev says, shift to the who is watching the observer. See, the intellect is observing the body and the mind. In fact, Swami Ishwaranand told me one time, one of the very powerful exercises to watch your mind. What is my mind doing? What is my body doing as a witness? And then the higher than that, which today also we practiced in our meditation, who is that is watching even this observer? Who is observing the observer? Who is observing the intellect? And that is Om, and that I really am. So one who can do that and be a witness, then such a person is not affected. And he, as we said, Padma Patram, like a lotus leaf. And that is how we meditate in meditation also. You know, that's how we practiced. We did that today, but doing that regularly when you sit for meditation. We have meditation 10:20 to 10:50. If you have time to come earlier, you're welcome to join us. We have guided meditation every Sunday and then the 11 o'clock class. So in your meditation, you become a witness and watch the body, watch the mind, and even watch the watcher, watch the observer. I am none of those three. Chidananda Rupaha, Shivoham, Shivoham. Brahma Tattvamasi Bhavayatmani. Shankaracharya ji says, you are that Brahman, and know that in your mind, intellect, you are not this body, mind, intellect. And then such a person works for the benefit of all and does not do things that are harmful. And I was reading one commentary. How, you know, one is to purify the mind, Atma Shuddhaye. How do you make the mind impure? We can start with that and then how to purify. One of the ways is that whatever job you are doing, you should do for the benefit of all, not harm others. So, like you're working in advertising, you know, you work for some advertising company, agency, and they have advertisements for cigarettes, alcohol. I should not participate in that. If I participate, oh, it's just a job, I have to get a salary. And if you start promoting cigarettes, start promoting alcohol or guns, you know, people, you know, they go to these, you know, fairs and they have these shops where they are selling guns. So whenever I am promoting something harmful to society, I am becoming impure because I am saying this is good and you should all do it. And we find these stars, you know, they smoke and then they promote or they drink, you know, they show all these actors drinking. And we think, oh, it's very cool to drink, maybe, you know, especially teenagers. So doing that makes your mind impure. So that is very important. And how do I purify my mind? As we said, by filling the mind with good thoughts, good emotions. Reading good books, you know, listening to good audio videos on YouTube. You know, we have, you can go to Chinmaya channel, and there's hundreds of videos by all different acharyas of Chinmaya Mission all over the world. So, watching them, listening to them, filling the mind with good thoughts, and then consciously trying to develop love, compassion for all. And then people say, how long will it take me to get purity of mind? We say, well, somebody comes and asks, how long will I learn to sing. How long will it take me to learn to sing? We said depends on your ability. If you have the ability and if you have already been singing for a while, then if you come and the teacher says, then I can teach you classical music, you know, ragas and all that. But if you have zero knowledge, then you have to start from below. So same way, purity of mind, you have to see where I am. Am I more loving? Am I compassionate? Am I kind? Am I helpful? If I am not, then I have to develop that. So this all depends on where I am. So we have to look within ourselves. How pure is my mind? How pure? How much love, compassion, kindness? And how can I make it better? Atma Shuddhaya. How can I purify my mind? How can I make my mind free of likes, dislikes, anger, hatred, all that? And for that, right knowledge is very essential. Why am I doing what I'm doing? So right understanding and right knowledge. So getting from a teacher. So talking about having the right knowledge and doing the right thing. So there was this man who was walking on the beach. And he came across an old lamp. He kicked it. You and I rub lamps and nothing happens. But in the stories, they always the genie comes out, right? So the genie came out and he said, you know, I have been stuck in this lamp for 1,000 years, but you got me out. So normally I give one wish, but you will get 3 wishes. Wow, that's great. 3 wishes I get, that's wonderful. He said, what would you like? So this person loved to drink. So he said, give me a bottomless, you know, container of beer. Every time it should always be full. I pour out, you know, with the tap, I pour into the 10 cups, it should still be full. 20 cups, my whole party I do in the house should always remain full. He said, okay, done. So this beautiful container comes and he checks. Yeah, it's always full. He drinks it, it is still full. He's very happy. Oh, thank you, genie, for this great gift. So genie says, you have 2 more gifts. What can I give you? He says, give me 2 more of these. So that is ignorance, where the person doesn't know what he wants, why he's doing things. So that's what he says. That, and also he's so attached to alcohol that that's all he can think of. So that's what they say, what you are attached to, that's all you will think. And that contaminates your thinking, contaminates your mind. So they say, Gurudev always says, detach from the world, attach to Bhagwan. Do not give too much importance to the world. My attachment should be to Bhagwan. And of course, I have to love people, but I love people as Bhagwan himself. Bhagwan is in my house, came as my child, my spouse, my mother, my father, my friend, my neighbor. Everyone is God. When you see that, that's why in the Mahatmas, they have spontaneous love for everyone, even somebody who hates them, punishes them, but they have no anger, no hatred. So that's what they say, that these persons do all their activities, whether with the body, the mind, the intellect, or even with their senses. These yogis do actions, sangam tyaktva atma shuddhaye. They do not depend on things or beings for happiness and do not get attached to where then they end up doing wrong things. When I'm so fascinated and I want something, then I'll do anything to get it. You know, if I have to hurt people, if I have to cheat people, if I have to lie. And then when this thing goes away, I am miserable. When I have it, I'm happy. So all wrong actions come from attachment. So that's why he says, sangam tyatva. When you are not dependent on things, when you're not attached to things, then you are able to function without any negativities. And atma shuddhaya, such a person has a pure mind and has love and compassion for all. So this is shloka number 11. Now in the shloka number 12, Bhagwan Sri Krishna gives us 2 different kinds of people. See, that is his method of teaching in Bhagavad Gita. He will say, if you do this, it is good. If you do that, it is bad. He said, I am not telling you what to do. He says, I am giving you both the choices. Ye karoge, to you will be happy. Ye karoge, to you will be miserable. So the choice is yours. So throughout the Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavan gives us a choice. He nowhere he says, thou shalt do it or thou shalt go to hell. Never, these words Bhagavan has never used in all the 700 verses. He says, choice is yours. Do this, you will get this. Do that, you will get that. He does not try to force us. Even in the 18th chapter at the end, when the last teaching is over in the Bhagavad Gita, he tells Arjuna, I have taught you all these 700 verses. Yat ichasi tatha kuru. Whatever you desire, you do it. He gives us the choice. He says, I have taught you all the Bhagavad Gita, 700 verses. Now you do as you wish. So here also, Bhagavan is giving us a very clear choice of two different. And what that does is helps us to see which camp am I in. Am I on this side or am I on that side? If I am on doing some wrong things, how I can go to the right side? And if I am on the right side, how I can increase it, how I can make it higher. So that is the beauty of this particular shloka, number 12, chapter 5, number 12. Yukta karma phalam tyaktva.
Yukta karma phalam tyaktva.
Shantim apnoti naisthikim.
Shantim apnoti naisthikim.
Ayukta kama karena
ayukta kama karena
phale satto nibadhyate
phale satto nibadhyate.
Again, yukta karma phalam tyaktva
shanti mapnoti naisthiti
ayukta kama karena. So yukta, yukta means, we'll talk about yukta, but we have talked a little bit in the previous shloka also. Yukta means one who is connected. But there are two, three meanings of that. So yukta, so one who is yukta, karma phalam tyaktva. Tyaktva means having given up karma phalam, the fruit of action. So does that mean that the person should not work with a goal or a result? No, we'll talk about that. So having given up the fruit of action, when this person works, who is yukta, who is connected, shantim apnoti, he attains peace. Naishtiki, the highest peace, the ultimate final peace of complete fulfillment he or she accomplishes. You and I, when we are working for peace. Even when, say, I'm working for salary, okay, then I get money, I'm at some peace. Okay, now at least my children won't be hungry. When I get some happiness, you know, I'm hungry, I want some pizza or ice cream or something, then again, that happiness gives me peace. So ultimately, we work for happiness, and the happiness will give us peace. So we all work for peace, but this person attains the highest peace, and we'll talk about how to get there. And a yukta, and one who is not yukta, who is not united, how does this person work? Kama karena, with desires, desire-prompted actions this person does. Then phale saktaha, he becomes attached to the fruit. Fruit and nibadhyate, he gets bound. So yukta and ayukta. So what is the meaning of yukta? One is, as we said, yukta comes from the word yuj, that is the root. So one whose mind is always connected with God, we have done that in the first shloka today. But yukta has a second, also very important meaning, where the mind and intellect are united. They are not separate. They are united. So what do we mean by that? Say I know something is right. I want to do it, but my mind says, I don't feel like doing it. It's not right. Like, I know I have to get up in the morning and do some meditation, some yoga, some prayers. Mind says, "Arey yaar, what's the need to get up? Now time has changed. We have extra hour of sleep. Let's sleep more. You know, why get up early to meditate? Why get up early to yoga? Especially now winter coming. You know, it's hard to get up. Mind says, let's alarm baj gaya, turn it off. Let's go back to sleep. Or I'm fasting, you know, and mind, I'm doing it for Ekadashi or something. And then I say, okay, I'm going to eat one meal. And, you know, and while I'm fasting, I should be thinking of God, not thinking of food. But my mind will say, what is all this fasting and all? What do you believe in all that? It doesn't make any difference. Ekadashi hai, Dwadashi hai, what is it? Just a day. Come on, let's go eat. You know, let's a nice new restaurant open. So mind will try to take us away, but the intellect says, no, that's not the right thing, because I have decided that I'm going to fast. I'm going to control the mind. And if you give in to the mind, because the mind will throw tantrums, you know, oh, I don't know. What is this? I'm hungry. Let's go. Or whatever, you know, you have decided. But the intellect has to be firm. It's like a child, you know, a child in the house is doing something wrong and you tell the child no. The child starts throwing a tantrum, gets on the ground and starts crying and kicking his legs. Why should I? Why not? It can be a child. It can be a teenager. And they have to learn that sometimes no means no. You know, they will throw tantrums. That is the nature of children. And they will fight and they will resist. You say, no, at this time, this is not right for you. This is not good for you. It's a time to study. You know, next day is final and he's watching some shows on the TV or on the internet. Or no, at this time, your job is to study. So they have to learn that no is also an answer. We cannot give yes to everything. So same way, our mind will take us or, you know, there is some opportunity to do something dishonest. Intellect will say, oh, that's not right. You shouldn't pick this up. You know, it doesn't belong to you. It'll say, nobody is watching in the store. The salesman is somewhere. Let me pick up and take. So the mind will disturb us, take us away from what is right, what is our goal. So that is called the one who is ayukta. Is the one who his mind lets his control. And the progress is gradual. You cannot go straight from ayukta to yukta. It is gradual. And this highest shanti, naishthiti, doesn't come overnight. So as we said, first of all, you do the right actions. Do some regular puja, remembering God. Dedicate your life to God. Serve the world. And then give up the sense of doership that Bhagwan is working through me. Bhagwan is the doer. And when I give up doership, then I also give up enjoyership. Then you don't say, oh, I did it, so I did. No, everything Bhagwan did, whatever result came is Bhagwan's prasad. Then I don't have this particular desire. I must get this result. That is called karma phala. When I do action thinking that what will I get out of it? And I want a particular result. We had talked earlier about, you know, karmanye vadika raste, that shloka. If you haven't heard, please listen to that commentary on this chapter 2, number 47. In this first power, we spend a lot of time covering this particular shloka. That the four aspects of karmani, karma yoga, karmani eva adhikar, your right is to work, not to the fruit, not what will I get, and do not work for only for a particular result, what I can give, and do not become lazy. So then only you will get the highest shanti. Now there are three kinds of people in this world who... There are two who have shanti and one who does not have shanti. So one is the person who is completely ignorant. He says, I don't care. You know, I've never heard the scriptures. I'm here to enjoy, you know, theek hai, khao, piyo, and World is for our bhoga, body is for enjoyment. What is your wasting time listening to Bhagavad Gita and going to lectures and reading and let's go watch a movie or that. So for him, there is no problem. He has no problem. He says, Mujhe koi, I have nothing to do with all this. The second is the realized master. Again, he has no problem. He or she has gone beyond the world. They are enlightened. They are always living in bliss. So they have no problem. So the, both of them have shanti. But it's people like us who are in the middle, we have a shanti. Problem is for us because we know a little bit now. I have read Bhagavad Gita. I have listened to Swami Chinmayananda. I have read his commentary. So now I am told, okay, this is right and this is not right. Now I'm saying, Are, what should I do? How should I correct myself? So the problems comes to people like us. That does not mean that one should not do it. The idea is that once you have heard this knowledge, then you should work in that direction. That is the idea. So let us not be like the first one. As a second, I should try to become the third. Then only I will get shanti, naishtiki, the highest peace I will get. And how do, why do we do wrong actions? Because of avidya. Kama karena. When I do karma, the wrong kind of actions, I do out of avidya, out of ignorance. I don't know what is right. I don't know what is my goal. I don't know what is my purpose. And I do wrong actions. So getting the right knowledge will make us do the right actions and will avoid tragedies. See, people say, you know, for us, what are our tragedies? You know, some, okay, some, there are some major tragedies, okay. You know, some family member died, or like in Jamaica now, this hurricane, those are major tragedies. But for us, we don't have those tragedies. What is our tragedy? Wi-Fi is not working, or chai was cold today, or I got traffic. And we get so bothered about these things. We get so upset. We don't, if it was a major tragedy, our house is burnt and hurricane gone. That I understand. But we get so disturbed and we think that is the greatest tragedy. Oh, what will I do? My Wi-Fi, or you know, there is not enough oregano in my pasta. You know, these things we get so perturbed. So they say, do not get perturbed by small, small things in life. And these things happen and you just deal with them and let not that bother you. And that's what happens. We get anxiety. You know, I must have this. If I don't have it, what will I do? And then we get bound. We get caught. I must get what I want, and I run away from what I don't like and run towards what I like, and then I'm caught. If I don't have it, I'm unhappy, or if that thing I didn't want comes to me, I'm happy. And Gurudev says that for sure what things you don't like will chase after you. They will come, you know. So whatever you don't like will come, and what you like will run away. So do not have too much strong likes and dislikes. And do not get bound. About bound, there is a very beautiful story. I have some time, so I'll cover that. So there was this man, you know, how we get attached to things. So there was this man who had 10 camels. I have told the story a few years back. Some of you may have heard it. And he had 10 camels, and he used to, he was going from one town to another carrying, you know, luggage to sell all these goods. And then he had rope, and at night they would stop in oasis, you know, where they get water and all. And then he would tie the, so he would put a stick in the ground, like a nail stick, and then tie the, with the rope, the camel to the rope and rope to that stick. And at night he would do that, bang the stick in the ground, tie the camel with the rope. And in the morning he will untie the camels and all 10 of them go. So it so happened that one day he came to this oasis and he checked and he counted. There were only 9 ropes. The 10th had fallen somewhere, you know, from his bag. It had fallen in the desert. Now he's worried, you know, I have only 9 ropes, 10 camels. And there I cannot buy a rope. He was, you know, a small oasis. says, if I don't tie the camel at night, he will go away. And camels are very precious, you know, worth a lot of money. And how will I? And I cannot stay up all night holding on to the camel. What? And he's looking very worried. So there's a wise person walking by. He says, you look very worried. What's wrong? He says, Maharaj, you know, Mahatmaji, I have this problem. I have 10 camels and only 9 ropes. He says, okay, tie the 9 with the ropes. So he ties the 9. He says, what should I do with the 10th one? He says, pretend to tie. You know, camel doesn't know the difference. You take your rope around and you pretend to hammer in the ground, make noise with your hammer and the stick, hit that stick in the ground, and then pretend to tie the rope. Camel won't know. He will stay. So in the morning, he gets up. He says, wow, that's so true. Mahatmaji's advice worked. That camel was fixed there. He didn't move anywhere. He thought he was tied. So then he frees the 9 of them. And come on, let's go. They all start. 10th one is not moving. He hits him. He's still not moving. All the other 9 are moving. So again, that Mahatmaji, he says, what happened? He says, this stupid camel is not moving. He says, did you untie him? He says, no, I never tied him. He says, but you act like you are untied. So he does the same thing. He unties, pretends to untie, remove the stick. Ah, the camel is free. He goes. So you and I are like that 10th camel. We think we are bound. We think we are attached. Why? Because we get attached to objects, emotions, and thoughts. Even though our nature is Atma, the consciousness, which is unattached. But out of ignorance, we think we are caught. We think we are bound. And we need a wise person like Puja Gurudev or other Mahatmas to tell us that you are not attached. You are not bound. Chidananda Rupaha, you are that Brahma Tattva Masi Bhavayatmani. Think of in your mind that you are that Atma and function in the world, but do not get attached. Do not get caught in the world. And that is our ignorance. Our true nature is Atma, the consciousness, which is unattached, which is that's who I really am. But I am so bound with objects, emotions, and thoughts. So unless the Mahatma comes and unties us, we think we are bound, you know, even though we are not. So that is the beautiful story of bondage. And that's what they say, that how do you get away from bondage? By consciously doing things for others. Why am I dependent on things? Because I hold on to it. It's mine, I, me, and mine. But when I start sharing, when I start giving, when I start sharing, when I start helping, and this Gurudev says, whatever you have is his gift to you. What you do with what you have is your gift to him. So that's why they say, na, tera tujhko arpan, kya lage mera, you know, jai Jagdish Hare, tan man dhan sab tera. So my body, mind, everything I have is gift from you. So let me share it. Let me help others. That is how you reduce your attachment, by giving, by sharing, by unselfishness. So selfless, unselfish work alone is the way to get beyond this bondage of I, me, and my. What will I get? Instead of what will I get, what can I give? You know, that is the very important. That's why even John F. Kennedy had said, ask not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country. Such wise phrases. And why do we get caught? So Bhagwan gives another beautiful shloka. Yatato hyapi kaunteya purushasya vipaschitaha indriyani pramathini haranti prasabham manaha. O Kaunteya, O son of Kunti, O Arjuna, yatata, even the person may be putting lot of effort on this spiritual path. I have to grow upwards. I have to improve. And purushasya vipaschitaha, even though this person has the right knowledge, has studied Bhagavad Gita, has gone to the guru and learned, why does he get tempted? Indriyani pramathini. The sense organs are so strong, Haranti prasabham manah. Forcefully they take our mind. Because I see something, I have decided, you know, I'm not going to buy anything, you know, and then I walk by a mall, shopping mall, or the window, and I get so tempted, you know, oh, I don't have this. You say, oh, you already have two of these. It's okay. I want the newest model, newest telephone, newest car. So the eyes, or I hear something about some new product has come out. I have to run to buy it, even though I have it. Same food, you know, that I these things are not good for me. I have diabetes, but it's okay, you know, a little bit of sugar, it's okay. Not to. So senses will tempt us, you know, eyes, ears, nose, skin, tongue. So these senses will take us away. And so he says, even though the person has all the wisdom and does all the right effort, he has the desire, but he gets tempted by the senses. That's why he says, Tani sarvani samyamya yukta asita matparaha vashehi yasya indrani tasya prajna pratishthita. He says in the second chapter, the man of wisdom controls his or her senses and yukta, and he sits united with me. Bhagwan says, matparaha, makes me the goal. And his mind is always connected with me. So control your senses, control your mind, let it not run too much into the world. Spend some time every day remembering God. And as you progress, you'll get more and more joy. You'll want to spend more and more time with Bhagwan, remembering Bhagwan, doing some prayer, doing some puja. And this comes with effort. It does not happen overnight. I remember one person was telling me, he says, what is this? You keep going to listen to all these Swamiji's and go to all these lectures. He says, I said, why are you saying that? He said, I went for a weekend course, you know, Newport Beach. And they told me I am that. They told me I am Brahman. He said, I already know it now. I know I am Brahman. I am that. Why do I have to keep going to these Mahatmas courses, reading all these books, listening? Weekend mein mujhe pata chal gaya. See, the weekend courses are not going to do that because our vasanas are so deep. It's not only this lifetime, multiple lifetimes. Not to get discouraged, but the idea is that it needs sustained, prolonged effort, sincere effort for a long period of time. And slowly this will happen as you study more, as you learn more. That's why Bhagwan says, Abhyase na tu kaunteya, vairagye na chagrihyate. Bhagwan says, your mind can be controlled by Abhyasa and by vairagya. As you detach from the world and as you practice, because Arjuna says, you know, to meditate, I have to control my mind is so difficult. And that happens in any field. You know, we find it very difficult to control our mind, our senses. You know, the moment we have a spare moment, we pick up the cell phone and start surfing the net or seeing it. And so these things we have to watch. We have to be very careful. I also sometimes feel myself guilty also. But slowly reducing the time in the world and spending more time with Bhagwan is the only way. And that's what he says. So such a person does not get bound, but a person who is dependent on the senses, hale saktaha nibadhyate. When he gets bound to what will I get, then he gets caught. So we studied today that devote our actions to Bhagwan, put everything in the Lord, and work without attachment, like the lotus leaf in the water, like the lotus flower. And one who works with that attitude, does all their activities, his mind becomes pure, Atma Shuddhaye, and then that person gets supreme peace, Shantim Apnoti Naishtiki. And one who does not do that gets ashanti, gets suffering. So very, very practical shloka. All three are very nice. So please read Swami Chinmayanandaji's commentary. And try to apply this in your life. So we'll end here. We have about 10 minutes. If anybody has any questions, comments, please feel free to add. Let me. Is he? Yeah, you're unmuted. Okay, Carrie, go ahead.
I just wonder, is it the attachment to sense objects, or is it the desires that bind people?
No, it is the desires that make you do actions, selfish actions, and then that repeated doing those actions get you attached, get you get bound, and then create more vasanas. So the vasana creates desire, desire creates action, action creates attachment, and then that creates more vasanas, more desires. So it's a vicious circle.
Okay, thank you.
Any other comments, questions? Yeah, Joyce, you can unmute.
Okay. Okay, so the vasanas create desires. Okay, what about these other two terms I've heard? Rittis, is it rittis? Rittis?
Vritti.
Yeah. What is that?
Vrittis
exactly?
are thoughts.
Thoughts, okay.
Desires create thoughts. So avidya, kama, and that creates vrittis, thoughts, and then that creates actions, and then that action gets you attached, and that strengthens your vasanas.
Okay, and then what about, is it samskaras?
Samskaras are my tendencies that in this birth also, like depending on the kind of family you have, the kind of where you grew up. So those are the samskaras, and also they can come from previous birth also. But samskaras are generally what we get in this lifetime. As a Hindu, what samskaras I have, as a Christian, so what kind of, so that is samskaras.
Is that necessarily, that can be good or bad then?
Yes.
Okay. And rittis, same thing,
it
good
can
or
be.
bad?
Vrittis are thoughts. They can be good or bad depending on your vasanas, on
Right.
your.
Right. So if you're thinking about God and you're in that mode, then it's a good riti. If you're thinking about when you're on a diet, eating the wrong stuff, sugar, if you're a diabetic, that's not a good one.
Right.
Okay. I think I have it. Thank you.
Lata, you have a question?
We live in the world where there are so many contradictions, especially the truth is not truth at times. So how do you manage that, in your actions, basically?
I think Bhagwan gave us an intellect to think.
Okay.
So as a human, we have the ability to initially, maybe you may be cheated or misled, but eventually you will figure it out that this person is honest, this person is dishonest, this is right, this is wrong. And then going by the Shastra Pramanam te, let Shastras be your Pramanam.
Mm-hmm.
So Shastras will tell us what is right, and then using our own intellect and also our experience that last time I did this and it hurt me, it was wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So all those things, using your intellect, your past experiences, tasmat shastram pramanam te karya karya vyavasthita. Shastra will tell us what to do, what is not to be done.
True.
And then own intellect, and also what we have heard from our parents, our gurus, our teachers. When in doubt, they say go to a wise person, maybe, like Swamiji or somebody.
Mm-hmm. See, it's the young people that are very prone to influence, and the wrong ideas get implanted in that. That's why coming to Bal Vihar and attending the classes like this helps. Thank you.
Yeah, and even for adults, we have to constantly read the Bhagavad Gita, listen to these talks, and, listen to Swamiji.
You just said sustained, prolonged effort is needed.
Right.
Thank you.
Anybody else in this, in the hall? Any comments, questions? Yeah. You want to, yes, speak? Talk loud, okay. Make, if you can't hear her, let me know.
Everyone, Happy New Year to everybody. Today I have no comments and no questions, but I have compliments for dear Ranjit.
Oh, no. So, Gurudev.
My heartfelt gratitude towards his dedication and love to teach all of us the divine Bhagavad Gita, the life transforming scripture. He has been teaching very diligently for years with all his heart, devotion, and love, and so selflessly. And my words fall short of thanking him and his service.
Oh, it just...
He kindly requests us to read Bhagavad Gita every week, which only assists us in our own learning and progressing on this spiritual path, and also in our daily life, which really helps. In Bhagavad Gita, chapter 18, verse number 69, it says so beautifully, so I'll say in Sanskrit and explain. Nacha tasmat manyeshu kaschin me priyakritamah avita nacha me tasmat anya priyataro bhuvi. What it means, that there is, nor is any among men who does dearer service to me, nor shall there be another on earth dearer to me than him. The one who teaches Lord Krishna really loves him a lot, and he thinks there is nobody dearer than him. So I think Anilji is so close to Lord Krishna.
Wow. It's all Gurudev.
May Lord Krishna and Pujya Gurudev, who spent his life whole teaching the world the Bhagavad Gita, blessings be always on Anilji and Niruji, and through them, on all of us. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for the kind words. I get uncomfortable when it's all Guru's grace. You know, whatever knowledge I have is because of Gurudev and Bhagwan's blessing. But thank you. Any other comments, questions, anything anybody has? Okay. We'll end here. Moini, auntie, welcome back. I'm glad you're feeling better. Nice to see you back. Om Sarve Bhavantu Sukhinaha Sarve Santu Niramayaha Sarve Bhadrani Pashyantu Ma Kashchit Dukhabhag Bhave Om Asato Ma Satvamaya Tamaso Ma Jyotirgamaya Vidyorma Amritam Gamaya Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi Parihi Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Parihi Om. Thank you. Hari Om.